Welcome once again to another episode of Behind the Crossfader, episode number 16. I'm Terry Fatso Haymore.
And I'm George Gonzalez, Arizona's DJ Hurricane.
And today we got our man, Michael Big Nut Lopez.
Olo, olo.
Behind the Crossfader.
Yeah, we always start off by, you know, thanking our sponsor over here, Mr. Dave Metz in the Man Cave, along with A-List 520.
Probably the best sponsor in the history of sponsors.
Absolutely. Yeah, now, this is going to be an extra hot show for a few reasons tonight. It's because there's been a little technical difficulty in the air conditioning. So we're over here sweating it up, Mike Tyson at a
spelling bee.
That's right.
It was kind of funny because this morning, not this morning, but the afternoon or evening or so, I was talking with George. George hit me up and he's like, "How you doing, Terry?" He's like, "Man, I'm just getting off of work and ooh, it's hot. I'm sweating like Mike Tyson out of spelling bee." And then George is like, "Speaking of sweating, yeah.
It's only gonna get worse."
But it's all good, you know. So, you know, we're going to make it do what it do. So let's get the show rolling.
But if I was going to be sweating anywhere, I'd be sweating at the Man Cave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good title for the show.
Sweating at the Man Cave.
Yeah. So we got our very special guest, Mr. Michael Big Nut Lopez. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
I'm fluffy. Sexy and fluffy.
He's chunky, Duncan.
50 Shades of Brown, boy.
No, I've been DJing for a little while, just a bit. Learned how to do it from my uncle, who was an original DJ at Studio 54. So oh, nice. I grew up with that stuff, and it was just a party ever since then.
And exactly how long is a little bit?
This year is 30, going on 34.
Wow, ooh. Finally somebody who got me beat.
Wow, that means awesome. He started DJing when he was like 6.
Yeah, we had cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mixed cassettes. Nobody could afford a turntable.
Wow. So how do you envision how everything, I mean, could you imagine how things are now? It's just insane when you think about it, man.
It's like, funny that you say that, because I think back to how old folks right now are thinking about the iPad and cell phones and how they are. And same way, I mean, you know, no regular person could afford a turntable back in the day, mm-hmm. until Realistic finally came out with one that we could put quarters on and spin with your finger. But, you know, we were seriously mixing 4 decks, double cassette decks, and penciling to death. Your pencil would be all chewed up. But it was the way we did it.
Yeah, and most people don't get that connection between a cassette deck and a pencil.
Yeah.
Your area had all kinds of little yellow and different colors on it.
Oh, man, that saved me many a cassette deck, you know. Especially when that thing started eating it up. You're like, oh, no.
Imagine doing 8 tracks, boy, having to mix those.
Yeah, I don't even want to know.
But I bet you, like, with every format change, equipment change, as the technology, you know, progress, it seemed like the way DJing is that it preps you for the next technology. Like, it kind of gives you a little boot camp per evolution of the, you know, the next movement of music and format of music, I say.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you guys were talking last show with Shorty about the Monday at Raw, and everybody jumped on their vinyl. And we're not as finessey as we were with our vinyl, because mm-hmm. you're used to Serato, and that stuff doesn't scratch, doesn't lift. All these records are wobbling, and needles angling. It was funny. We were all sitting there yesterday, or last Monday, just kind of sweating it up, going, "Oh my goodness, I feel like a rookie."
Damn.
That's the truth. I mean, you do forget, you know, you do forget the little intricacies that come with. You know, with that vinyl, especially when it starts skipping. Tell me that you don't start sweating immediately when you hear that first skip, because you know another one's coming.
Yep.
Like, I know it's going to happen again.
that's why for the, I'm going to propose for Serato called Extreme Serato, where it's going to be so real that your MP3 files are going to warp. Like, if you, in they're going to be heavy as hell. And if you scratch your file, your MP3 file is going to stay scratched. Like, if you move a needle, I'm going to make it extreme. Serato is going to be hardcore. Then somebody can steal your MP3 and you can't get it back, you know, once I take it off your computer.
So you said that, you know, you grew up with your uncle spinning at Studio 54. That must have been some crazy times.
It was nuts. Our house parties were famous here in town. They still are. So people come from all over in the holidays and go to my Nana's house, my grandma, and my uncles were gay. And it's funny because growing up in a very open family, mm-hmm. we got to see some crazy serious partying going on. So it was really cool, though. It was like my family brought us up to, no matter who it is, they love you. That's what
awesome,
matters.
Man.
So it was really cool. And, you know, it's funny when my uncles decided to pull us all together, all his cousins, and tell us that they were gay. Finally, we were old enough, and they were going to let us know. And we're sitting there looking at them like, we've known this. What are you talking about? So the party continued, you know. So, you know, it was great. And it's kind of funny that it prepared me, because as I went to San Diego to DJ and around the world while I was in the Navy, hitting a lot of gay bars, and that's where all the parties mm-hmm. are. I mean, that's the serious people
exactly.
want to dance. You were talking about it. There's only three kind of guys that are dancing. You
blacks,
know what I'm
gays, and guys that want to get laid. Those are the only three people that dance there.
Yeah, so I mean, that's honestly, if you want to get in the serious party platform, that in my opinion, that's it right there. No problems, hardly any. And if they are, they're very little and light. Yeah, so,
but that really is a true test of a DJ too. Yeah. I mean, to really keep that dance floor mm-hmm. moving is definitely a challenge. So growing up, then, what were your musical influences?
Oh man, Sylvester, Donna Summer.
Wow, now you're talking.
Donna Summer, Michael Jackson, of course, mm-hmm. Jackson 5. Man, a lot of good stuff. Stevie B, of course, all those guys coming through. Lisa.
Really?
Man, all that good old stuff.
I miss
stuff.
That. You had me on Sylvester. that guy is very underrated. And just, you know, I just, you know, just love the music. I mean, it's like gay disco type style of music, but it just like, you just feel it, man,
yeah,
the energy.
Was funky,
it was so funky, so groovy, it made you want to dance. And
you know, Sylvester and Lime and Lips Incorporated, those groups mm-hmm. were those groups were like way ahead of their
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
They were way ahead of their time.
So would you consider Taps being that
same?
Taps
in there too, definitely.
Yeah.
Salsa Orchestra, I mean, without them, disco would have never
been
around.
Damn, within 5 minutes, I got a DJ with him now, man. I would love to play this. It's so funny, like, you know, like Shorty, how she was talking about these groups and everything. It's like, God, I got to play it. And just you mentioning these groups, I mean, these are like, this is music that I normally listen to just on my iPod and not actually play at spots, and it's something that I feel like should play, you know.
I miss it, because it's funny, because you hear so many songs with the little samples of everything, and you're like, man, come on.
Uh-huh.
It's come full circle already.
Yeah.
So it sounds cool that there's enough people out there that are young that have heard all this stuff, mm-hmm. and they're using it, and it's finally coming real again.
What?
So, Mr. Big Nut, are you an Arizona native?
Yes, I am, Mr. Big Nut.
Yeah.
Mr. Big
Nut. I got to show my respect.
Yeah, if the DJ career don't work, he can always go into another career. Yeah. Huh?
I got hurt in the war. There was only one.
So born and raised, huh?
Born and raised in Tucson. I joined the Navy when I was 17, and I left. Went around the world 13 times and had a blast. I DJed every minute that I was gone. Every country that I went to, it was amazing to be able to guest spot. And on the ship, we had on the ships with an S, we had radio stations, so I was able to DJ on there.
Oh,
too.
That's
so,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, because people trying to stay current as you're out at sea for a year.
Yeah, right.
It gets kind of rough, because you can't really get a lot of mail records through the mail. So it wasn't as easy as a CD.
Well, you know, that goes right along with my first question, is about you know, where you got your music. How, you know, record shopping. How was that like? You know, being around the world. Was there a favorite spot that you had?
Actually, I was really blessed that I had a lot of friends in the business, and they would send me stuff. And because I DJ for radio stations and I would make mix shows, I was lucky. One of the lucky cats that got free stuff.
Nice.
So, you know, especially as they started coming on CD, got really blessed. And then like right now, the whole email thing is just crazy, because George, you've seen them before.
Sure.
I get about 150, 200 emails every 2 days of just music that, you know, most of it doesn't even hit the street.
Yeah.
And it's really cool, because we just get to listen to it and tell them, hey, this is going to work or it's not going to work. But it was fun. All the little record shops back in the day in San Diego, I was stationed there mostly. And Chula Vista, we call it Chulawana. But they had Aqua Boogie Records down there.
Yeah, Aqua Boogie Records.
Yeah,
oh,
my boys
goodness.
Ran that. And they DJ Groove was my boy. And
that's
we
the baddest
worked,
name of a record shop ever I ever heard.
It was awesome, yeah. We worked House of Z on Z90. I was a radio DJ there. And we also did a house show that kicked in at 2 o'clock in the morning. So it was mainly hip-hop station, but a little dance. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, we did a thing called House of Z. And it went from 2 to 5. We had people like Bad Boy Bill, Richard Humpty Vision, all the big boys back in the day would spin there. And, you know, it was just a big party. People drinking and getting crazy. And we spun some crazy
music. Not on
music.
The radio, no.
Oh, yeah, no. Afterwards.
Yes, of course. I'm just going back to some of my old radio memories. Not going to say nothing. Payback.
Now, being in the service and kind of, you know, being around the world, so to speak, did it, like, broaden your DJ perspective or so, because I'm starting to see a lot of veteran DJs now, people who like Grappler, I guess he served, or DJ Tag, and then you, so, and DJ Touch also, you know. So.
Yeah, definitely. I think it opens your eyes, because I'm going to tell you what, honestly, I love America like there's no tomorrow, but the music scene is so big out of our country. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have nothing compared to what they do over
exactly,
there.
Exactly, yeah.
And over there, their lives revolve around nightclubs and music and parties and everything. And, you know, it's kind of funny because it's the only thing that I think is backwards.
Yeah, I heard it's not as categorized as it is here,
it's
too.
Just over there. It's party.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, if it moves. Yeah, if it moves your soul, it's going to be play. Okay. So, again, it doesn't matter. If it makes you move, you'll find a way to fit it in and make it happen. So it's really
so,
cool.
So think back to all those decades ago. And
are you saying that because I turn 46 tomorrow? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, cue the harp music and see like images of like booze and debauchery vinyl going over
your head. What was like that, you know, that first gig that brought you out of your... You know, out of your skin, that one gig that made you think to yourself, you know, this is it, this is what I want to do.
Oh, man, that one, I'll tell you, is funny, because that's when I first really started and I first got bit. Mm-hmm. My cousins on my dad's side, they used to throw garage parties over on Valencia and Cardinal.
Yeah, there
and
you
I
go.
Was, I was 13.
There you go.
And they brought black lights from Spencer's.
Man.
All that stuff. They had realistic turntables. Yeah.
Because house parties were the shit back then.
That was it.
People don't know that now, but everything was about the house party.
So I went over there, and they just had some parties going on. They charged like $2 a person to come in, and they had Kool-Aid and pizza and stuff. But it was crazy because it was all the good stuff, you know,
said
back Kool-Aid. In the day.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it was Kool-Aid because my aunt might be listening. But that was when I saw that and I saw what it did to people and the looks in people's faces and, you know, what music could actually really do to a whole crowd of people. I was like, damn, this is
yeah.
This is it. And then, you know, as I kept going and I was doing house parties on my own here in Tucson. When I came back from the military, I hit up Pepe's and the Stingrays, the Holodome. So I started doing that.
There you go.
And then I did.
You're going to have to tell us where that was, because that's just a little bit before my time.
No, that's right there on Palo Verde. Stingrays, it was Pepe's before, and that was like the place.
Wow.
Jeez. And then before that, we did, what was that place over on Tanca Verde? We did the Solarium, and we did Bobby McGee's over there on Tanca Verde, which Bobby McGee's was rocking. That place was kicking. And then the Square House Fun Bar was the Black Angus right over there where Toys R Us are now on Broadway and Craycroft.
Okay.
I mean, there was some crazy, crazy clubs in town that people don't even know about anymore. Cowboys on 22nd and Wilmont. I mean, they had cowboy strippers in there for the girls, and the ladies love that place. But there were a lot of cool clubs. But, you know, doing that around town and seeing that Tucson could be as big as a big city was fun. And when I came back and I started doing those, and then I went back into the military, hit San Diego again, and then I started with Z90 down there and Wild 104 in San Francisco, and then started really seeing how clubs are.
Yeah.
That got crazy.
Hey, Mike, real quickly, since you're shooting off all these clubs, these names or so, do you remember one called Sundance?
Yeah.
Man, you're the only person I know in Tucson that remembers Sundance.
Yeah, my mom and her eyes light up about that place.
Sundance was like, it was like amazing. It was a spot, man. That was the club where they show like videos of like Buffalo Girls. I mean, it was very like urban oriented. And this is at a time when like hip hop, you know, black urban music wasn't like the thing to play. But back then, there was such a big place, was really pushing it. And
it was an awesome club. There was a lot of music that would have never hit the streets got out that way.
Yeah, and lots of they really encouraged people to pop, break dance there. They had like popping battles and all that. There,
so. Yeah, that was mid '80s.
Wow, what a trip! Yeah. I'm glad you know. Then I'm not going crazy.
No, that was about. Yeah. I want to say it was on.
It was right on Oracle between Roger and maybe Prince or so.
Right in that area.
Right where that EG's
is. Where the EG's is, yeah. Right,
that's amazing as you guys are talking about all these clubs. They were located all around the city. You know, nowadays things seem to be getting a little more centrally located.
Yeah.
You know, and I do remember when there was clubs on the east side and on the north side and, you know, and all over the place. But it seems like nowadays...
Well, I think the business owners, in my opinion, are getting smart by doing that. And the only reason why is because it allows you to be very competitive,
mm-hmm.
and also lets people be safe and feel safe, and they're not worried about, you know, club jumping.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I hear some bars say, "Hey, I'd rather be far away," so they're stuck in
that
place.
You're right.
That doesn't make sense to me. Right. You know, you should have faith in what you're giving to your customer, and know that you're going to be the best. I would challenge somebody to put someplace right next to
you. Yeah.
See, I'm glad you mentioned in that safety issue, because I think that's actually the first thing that club owners think about now is like safety and their business, you know. And a lot of DJs, we just want to go in there and just rock it. We just want to rock the spot. And like, wait a minute, you know, this is my investment here, insurance, and you know.
There's a lot behind it. Those guys can lose. I mean, not just their club. They can lose their homes, their families. I mean, you know, and that's a pretty deep subject, but it's what it is. You know, these guys got to be really careful with what we create a party, and we create people to go nuts. And, you know, we can be the result of a lot of bad things.
Yeah,
happening.
I know.
Sometimes
we can play,
it's not purposely,
you know, but, NWA or something like that and get our DMX up in here.
Well, you know, but that was, you know, speaking on that, that was one thing that I learned from this gentleman right here, Mr. Lopez, was, you know, those songs are appropriate at appropriate times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once you get everybody filled with, you know, with that juice, and, you know, once the end of the night comes, that's really not the time to, you know, to start to hype them up. You know, you want that a little bit earlier in the night, and you kind of want to take them on a little bit of a journey.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, where they kind of slow it down a little bit at the end. They kind of mellow it out.
No,
I don't see that anymore.
No, as a matter of fact, I remember the days where midnight you expected a slow jam to come on.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
I ain't old honey over there and everything. She up there. She up there sporting no bamboo earrings there. Wearing a little spandex with
but
the
you,
high heels.
But Mike, you also come from the management perspective of nightclubs, not just the DJ.
Right, yeah, not just DJ inside. Yeah. That's kind of cool. That gave me a little bit of an edge too, because, you know, like my thing is when I'm in the, I've told George many times and a lot of DJs that know me, you know, if I'm playing, I don't care if people are dancing, because we don't get paid by the amount of people that are dancing.
Mm-hmm.
If people are feeling it and moving their heads and they're making money at the bar, that's where we get paid. So a lot of people tend to forget that. I mean, it's great when the floor is packed and you're pumping and people are dancing.
Well, you know, I was hard-headed like that when I was first coming up, and he had to correct me a lot. You know, it's like, you know, it's really great and you're making a move, but the bar is empty. You know, nobody's at the bar.
Yeah,
nobody's drinking.
Yeah.
You know, we need to move things around. Yeah. And it took a little bit. It took a little time, you know, for me to actually get it, because I just thought, you know, for me, it was just about that dance floor in front of me and trying to make a move as hard as possible.
And again, that's the thing. You know, that's the object. You want people to party. You want that atmosphere. But if these people aren't making money at the bar, your longevity there is going to be really short.
Exactly.
So, you know, and that was one thing. George has always been like my little brother. So, you know, I've always told him, hey, bro, I love you, but here we go. This is what I got for you.
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
To see him evolve, honestly, from the day I first met him and what he is now and who he is now is a pleasure.
Still,
man,
putting it
like,
down. Yeah.
I feel like a proud daddy. I really do.
It has been an interesting journey, that's for sure. <man. laughs>
And, you know, we got to remember that as DJs, how we grow and learn, and that we're always learning. And even now, I'm like trying to teach myself, you know, certain skills, and even looking into promoting. And I'm looking at all the younger cats who are successful at that. I mean, guys, you know, that's, you know, haven't been in the game long, who's doing something well that I want to know how to do. So it's I'm glad to, you know, I'm thankful to be able to humble myself and, you know, look at people and just like, wow, I want to do that. And, you know, George's going to show me a type of scratch. You know, he's like, hey, I got this scratch you should try. And
this guy talking, I stole a scratch from him years ago.
I'm trying to learn his and everything there. Did his music selection there. I straight stole his music, man. I'm actually proud of that. Actually, just yoink.
Actually, he did. I'm like, where's my flash drive?
And then when I play it.
Terry's like with a smile.
And then when I play it, it's like, I got to make sure he's not there in the same crowd. It's not the same crowd as the one, you know, but. But I'm glad to, you know, I'm glad to hear that, you know, from you, Mike, about George. You know, I mean, he's the man. So
you also were big on the marketing side, like as far as branding and that kind of thing. Way before it became, you know, before it became popular for a DJ to do so. You know, how did you pick up on that? Where did you learn that from?
It's funny. I learned just by watching restaurants and seeing what they were doing with their honestly salsas and stuff like that. I was like, wow, they're making a great product, and now they're making it to where everybody wants it in the country.
Yeah,
and I'm like, how cool would that be if you could do that with yourself as a DJ? Because everybody had their DJ names and whatever. But as far as branding and like glasses, I mean, like my favorite brander right now, DJ Dibs.
Right.
Yeah. Dibs, dude.
Oh,
he's on it.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, him and
have.
Monk and I.
Right.
And, you know, we've sat and talked, but, you know, it's just funny. You got to make yourself an object.
Yeah, you do.
And Big Nut comes from, I got named that when I was in California in Z90.
Damn, that was going to be one of my questions.
we can come back to that if you want to.
Interview yourself, man. Let's go, George. Let's
go. We're going to leave everybody here in the hands of DJ Michael Lopez.
I'm a little shy on the microphone. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If you've ever experienced one of his parties at the club, you know that he is not afraid to say what's on his mind. I've seen this guy turn the music off completely because some guy's on his cell phone in the middle of the dance floor. He's like, no, you are not on your cell phone on my dance floor. And literally get the whole crowd to boo this guy. So he could get off the phone so they could continue the party. Another one of your pet peeves is sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, wear sunglasses on my dance floor when you're rocking.
Oh, man.
I'll make sure everybody sees you're wearing them.
Larry Davis said only two people wear sunglasses, assholes and blind people. Inside, indoors. You see, there's only two people that wear sunglasses indoors in a darkened room.
I think I just found a new saying. Thank you, T.
Man.
No, it's funny. I mean, people love that stuff on me on Saturday. Like, they'll start coming to the DJ booth and pointing people out.
Yeah.
Hey, they're on the cell phone. Get them. Because it'll be pumping 1 o'clock at night or in the morning, and, you know, the club's going off, and I'll just straight up shut everything off. Hey, you on the cell phone over there. We'll wait till you're done.
Yeah.
I hope it's your mom you're talking to. It better be important.
That's exactly right. He is not afraid to call you out at all. I mean, I would have got shot for some of the things he said in the club.
You got to say it with confidence. You can't be, get off that Zoom. Kiss my ass, DJ.
I'm known for making people take their clothes off in the bar and the dance club. And, you know, it's all about fun and creating that party atmosphere.
Yeah.
I started the thing at IBT's called Party on the Patio 10 years ago now.
Yeah, 10 years.
And it came because the owner wasn't going to let me play one night because somebody else was playing and we were doing some big drag contest in town. And it was after the contest and they were having an after party at another club. And I said, let me throw a party. Nobody knows about it, but I'm going to throw it on the patio. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It was a monsoon season, so it was hot as hell. So I just started DJing on the patio, and it became Party on the Patio from that Saturday on.
Yep.
It just came nuts. I mean, it got so crazy. People would dance outside when it was raining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't even care.
Wow,
I mean, it was
really?
Straight up hardcore raining, and people dancing. Away.
Really?
I mean,
that's,
it's just,
that's nice.
You have to create something. And I ended up not mixing on purpose. I used my computer, and I used a program that's called Mixmeister. And I wanted it to be so that you felt you're somebody's backyard. Because it was a party on the patio.
Yeah.
It's where you're just sitting there and you're just listening to great music and dancing and having fun.
Yeah.
And that's what it was about. And it just blew up and became really strong and really crazy. So much so they built me a DJ booth outside in the back and they closed it
even,
in.
Even though it's only this
it's only
big.
Yeah, I saw that thing there. It looked like a tow booth.
I had to lose a bunch of weight.
It was.
Yeah, I'm about to drive my truck through there and get a ticket from you to park.
The first time I stepped in that DJ booth, somebody asked if I was selling tacos.
Yeah, it's little, but you know, still, it's kind of a cool thing that they did that, and it just goes to show that you can create something if you create it.
Yeah,
and it's all what you do and your perception, and you know what you make people realize and think. So I did Mexicus on Saturday nights. It means nothing, that word.
Yeah,
but
right.
At midnight, I would do this thing, and I'd look at the head bartender, and I'd say, hey, is it time? And he'd ring the bell and say, Mexicus, and everybody go crazy.
Uh-huh.
What the hell does that even mean? I don't know. I think I heard it on the Jerry Seinfeld show or something.
Right.
But it was cool, and you know, everybody would wait for it at midnight. They'd
wait,
and then we'd all toast, and it was crazy.
That's awesome, man. It seemed like it's like putting the fun back into DJing and not the ego. It seemed like everybody gets so full of themselves that, you know, they got to be super cool, and there's such thing as being too cool, but hey, it's a party. It's wild. Have fun. You know, you're the star. Make the people the star in the, you know, at the party themselves instead of the DJ. And it seemed like that's what it feels like to me, you know, when you're describing these gigs or so.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, I get crazy, so people can tend to like it and
like
it becomes
that,
a sideshow. I just want to shout out to Kid Cuts right now, speaking of cool, because I think he is taking his brand as well to another level.
I mean,
He's become such an amazing DJ and really put himself out there, and he's getting it. You know,
yeah,
what I mean,
he's
he knows
really
how
going
to be,
at it, yeah,
and he's still humble.
Yeah.
And that's the great part about it, that he's still out there. Same with DJ Dibs and, you know, DJ Do, all these guys that are starting to really
Master Monk.
Yeah, yeah, big time. Big Monk. Sorry, I didn't forget you, brother. But, you know.
No, no, I didn't forget you, brother. I've been trying to get him on the show for so long. Yeah. I sent him a message the other day. I said, look, if I can't get you in by August, we're just canceling the show.
That's it, man. It's going to be gone there.
No Monk, no show.
Monk, there's enough room in here for you to fit your mohawk, so you'll be okay. Don't even worry about it, brother. But, no, these guys have come up. I mean, I just found out, like, not too long ago that Monk used to listen to me when I was playing back in the day. He was sitting in his cousin's Jeep. I just saw her the other day, and she grew up with me and my family. And she was like, yeah, he was my nephew. He was the one who used to always be in the back of the Jeep. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because me and Monk go back a long time anyways. And then I found that out, and it was really cool. It's really neat when a lot of these guys come up to me and say, hey, dude, I was listening to you when I was little.
That's the best feeling in the world,
that's the best
man.
Feeling. I it can't even tell great. You how good that makes you feel.
It feels so great there.
You know? Unless you're using my tape and playing it in the club. When I walk by, I hear you.
Has that ever happened? Have you ever walked in a place
and heard
your own mix?
I was leaving. I wasn't working at IBT's one night. I just happened to take the night off. And I was walking down the street, and I passed by, Club North?
Mm-hmm.
And I walk by.
The one that was right across the street?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I walk by, and I'm like, what? I go, that's some stuff that only I play.
Yeah.
Vocal house, real deep.
Yeah.
You know, some really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's not right. So I look inside, and this one guy's playing in there. And I was like, wow. And then I hear the transition, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's me.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed and I listened a couple more, and then his eyes got big because he finally saw that I was there.
Oh, man.
Bro, you're really playing my CD right now? So
Do you want to call him out right now? I'm just saying. You know, I'm interested.
No, I'm not going to call him out.
Yeah.
But it was something else that.
I'm antagonizing over here, man.
I made a mix that sold I sold 4,000 CD sets here in Tucson. It's called Live on 4th Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And it was a 3-CD set. And it was back when Faithless was big, Insomnia and all that stuff, Funky Green Dogs. And, you know, I had some Melba Moore on there. And stuff that nobody heard. You know, you know Melba.
Yeah.
She sings a lot of soulful stuff. But she had a lot of unreleased white label remixes, like Stevie Wonder's Do I Do, that one you saw that I have.
Yeah.
I pulled out some calls.
I'm going through his records.
I know.
Like, as soon as this show's over, you have no idea. I'm going to send him to go play with my kids, and I'm going to go through his records.
Yoink.
Yeah,
it'll happen.
I'm gonna do one of those moves where I take him off the sleeve and get a token record to replace it in there, and still make it look, get some little feeler. So when you pull out Engelbert Humperdinck, when you're ready to rock that Stevie Wonder, you say, "Damn it, Terry!"
But then you're gonna make me do a mix live right
there. Yeah, there you go, Engelbert.
So there was people don't understand the kind of dynamic that he has behind the microphone when he's working his club. But you told me a great story years ago about someone that actually gave you advice about being on the microphone.
Yeah, that's the best advice ever. Yes. So I was barely getting into radio, on like real radio on the FM dial, and my radio station mentor, Crazy J Nelson was his name, and he worked for MTV and stuff afterwards, but he told me, he goes, your voice is awesome. I love your voice. He goes, your pipes are amazing. He goes, and you speak matter-of-factly, and you just come through really nice. He says, but I want you to do something for me. He's like, every time you're talking on the microphone, he goes, think that you're talking to one little girl that's having a really hard time in life. She's at a gas station at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
And she's listening to you through one of those transistor radios with one little speaker, not a stereo speaker, just a little speaker, and it's crackly.
Yep.
You gotta portray to her and make her feel like you're talking to her.
Yeah.
Every time you're on the mic, that's how you have
to
speak.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I got goosebumps right now. Every time I tell that story to people.
Well, you know, I mean, that was one of the stories that really opened me up, because if you knew me early in my career, I would not say a peep on a microphone.
You didn't even have a microphone.
Yeah, I didn't even have a microphone.
I would come and see him and bring my own microphone.
Yeah, I did not want to speak on a microphone. But it was about 4 or 5 years ago that we were talking about this. And he told me that story, and it really did inspire me to try to open up the mic a little. And I'm still not, still not there with it, but it definitely had an influence.
I think it gets difficult when you're humble, where I'm trying to find that balance of, controlling my ego versus really wanting to talk and entertain. And it's almost like you got to have a little bit of it to get on the mic and stuff, or maybe not. And it's I don't know. So I'm still working on that after all these years. I still haven't mastered it. Maybe after, like you said, you get some Jaeger, you know, I'll be.
People always ask me that question because, you know, I know there's a lot of DJs that have a lot of DJs have bring in mic guys like Benny's awesome on the mic.
Yeah, I love him. So shout out to Project Benny Blanco on OGPRC.
He's awesome on the
mic. Yeah, Sean Harris, he's doing it up, man.
Sean Harris is great.
And I was just blessed enough, I think, to be crazy enough to be able to do both at the same time. Because honestly, it's not easy. But for me, somehow it just feels right all the time.
And it's almost like another DJ because, like, if you got a good transition, like you're transitioning a song and there's a good gap or so, or the beat's kind of like a little bit longer than you like, then the person on the mic actually fills it in for you.
And, you know, and it always helps too if they have some kind of, you know, music experience. I remember back in the day when we would do nights like Why Not Wednesday and, you know, and you know, our nights at Backstage. And I remember working with R-Dub, you know, when he was early in his career. And, you know, he was, you know, the big thing in radio is you always want to post. And that means, you know, you want to be done talking when that song kicks in. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, like how you mix, too.
I remember
getting him in the booth and be like, okay, you know, if you know how to count measures, then you understand that like at 128 beats per minute, eight measures is about 12 or 13 seconds. So it depends on how fast you are at between 95 or 100 or 115, and you can tell them literally, okay, you got 15 seconds, you got 30 seconds, and being as he had that.
That mentality,
that experience, he could actually, you know, he could count it back down in his head. And man, when we worked together, it was just sailing.
It was just perfect.
There was no breaks in that night whatsoever. Yeah.
Well, saying that, I mean, now you bring that to reality. That's what happens with me because I learn how to talk on the radio and you post all the time. So that's kind of where that comes from then, I guess.
Because
I always hit a post because you walk over it, that hotline's going to ring.
Oh,
the owner's
man.
Like, what did you just do?
Your PD is all over. You see the flashing light, and you go, man.
When they talk about that hotline, they really have a hotline.
Yeah, they really
and they listen
and
to it.
And it's specifically
all the time.
For them to yell at you. Yep. That's really all it is.
All my people out there, once again, thank you for joining us for another episode of Behind the Crossfader. Make sure you hit us up on email at behindthecrossfader@yahoo.com. Hit us up on facebook.com/behindthecrossfader or go to the mama page of behindthecrossfader.podomatic.com. Make sure you turn on a friend. Your family, your kin folks, whoever you can find, make them listen to the show. Make it do what it do.
So we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but I really want to know the story behind how you got that name, Big Nut.
And please let it be a good story. Maybe it be, though.
No, I think it's a pretty, it's clean. It's
but no visuals, please.
Drunken stupor, a party, and at night you black out, and then you see like a little ghostly a coyote running across
what's
the
that shadow?
What's that?
It's not a shadow.
Or you see an image in the sky or a glowing light or something. You know, that's all I want. All these DJs, I just, you know.
Can
I get a good DJ story?
I was on the radio at Z90 again, and in the early 90s or 89, something like that. And we were Club Zool. I was spinning over there in Tijuana. And Z90 had a big party bus, and we had all the hot chicks in the bus that would drive down with us and stuff. And we were just throwing a big party one night. The station owners were there, and all the club owners were there, and it was just crazy. And I was known for wearing the Pancho Villa vest with the shot glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Tequila holders.
Right. So and that's it. That's it.
No chonies, just like that.
That's pretty slick. And you have them empty, then everybody else
had
to fill
them up. Had a
Patron
bottle in front covering everything.
My man.
But so I would stand on the DJ booth on the edge and pour tequila on girls. They had to, for beads, do the same basic thing, and then they'd get a shot of tequila poured from the top of my DJ booth down into their mouth, which was a good story and a half high.
Yeah.
So I was doing that.
So there was a lot of wasted tequila.
Yeah, there was a lot of wasted tequila. a lot of licked up tequila, too.
Oh, boy.
But, we were all pretty tore up, and the VIP booth was in the DJ booth. So it was a big round booth, and it was really cool because, you know, we had bottle service up there before it was really bottle service. Mm-hmm. And we were hanging up there, and, of course, we were all drunk. I got a little carried away like I sometimes do, and my song stopped. well, I'm not going to stop pouring tequila. So, yeah, you know, the crowd's still doing their thing.
That's the mark of a true pro right there, man. You don't skip a beat.
So I'm pouring the tequila still, and then the owner's just laughing at me, and we're all just keep going. And next thing you know, we just hear this noise in the background, and it was a sorority party. There was two sororities there, and no fraternity guys, just a bunch of guys there. And next thing you know, this chant gets louder and louder, and they're saying Big Nut. And the station owner looks at me, he's like, that's your name.
There you go.
So it comes from being crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
What I always used to do at midnight, I'd make all the girls take off their clothes. So they would be in their jeans, most of them.
Yeah.
Some of them would be in their underwear, but the brave ones always have just be in their bra.
Yeah.
And their shirts would be everywhere. So my DJ booth every weekend would be full of shirts.
Oh,
and it was
wow.
really cool and crazy, but that's where Big Nut came from, just because I'm not afraid. It's like, do your thing. If I can make you take off your shirt because you're so hot, I did a good thing.
There you go.
So that's where that name comes from. But it's funny because people like to put an S on it. Yeah, you know, it's not Big Nuts, you dirty little woman. So they like to say Big Nuts, and they think they use my name so they can say it out loud. But, it's just from being crazy. And, you know, I like to make that party spectacular. That's why I'm glad I'm sitting here in the man cave, because I hear
exactly.
Hey, we can do some crazy
I think
stuff.
That's what's missing now is that people keep forgetting that DJing is entertainment. I mean, you're making people happy. You know, they worked all day. They came here to have fun, meet somebody. It's just fun. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen lately, you know, you've been seeing these posts about real DJs, this and that. And sometimes we just miss the point. Sometimes people just want to have fun, say, screw it, I don't care. And
that's for sure.
Just have a blast. And I like that there. You know, we can, you know, break anything down, any movie or any piece of artwork down to the point where we won't even recognize it. Or we can just let it go and just enjoy it and say, screw it, you know.
Well, I think what our art does is we have the ability, and we're blessed enough as DJs and musicians to be able to change somebody's life with one beat.
Oh, yeah.
The true statement in that story comes out was that Acapulco's doing the happy hours, and I love doing happy hour parties because it's basically like a wedding on crack. And you do them early, and all the old people, you know, there's people in there having fun from all ages. But this one guy was planning on killing himself. And I played a song that took him back to his glory days with his chicks and all this stuff. Yeah. And at the end of the day, he came up to me. It was about 9:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And he come up to me, and he's like, hey, I got to tell you something. You made me change my mind about my life. And I'm like, really cool. And he goes, no, you don't understand. He's like, I wanted to take my life. He goes, I was planning this was it today.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I was done. He goes, and you played that song and it made me happy. He goes, you made me realize that life is too short and not to be worried about shit.
Uh-huh.
You know? So what was it called? Oh, man. Money, 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 money.
Money, 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 money.
There you go.
The OJs?
OJs.
Oh, wow.
It was a happy hour. And I somehow out of the blue, I just picked it up and I threw it on there.
Really?
Yeah. And home was just like, man. He goes, you know what? That brought me back. They reminded me that there is happiness in my life.
Yeah.
And as a DJ, you have that power and that ability, and I don't think a lot of us realize that stuff.
People take it for granted because we take it for granted because at that moment we're not feeling the need to have that song at that moment. I mean, when you have a date or you're taking a lady out, what song do you play? When you're ready to do workout, and do some what song do you play? So there's always a song that you're going to always pair with whatever you're feeling. And if you get somebody in that perfect mood and you put that song with them right there and... you know, you got them, you know.
Music
so
is strong,
yeah, we keep we, yeah, we always definitely. Take that for you granted.
Can,
there,
you can really change someone's mood. You can change the mood of an entire room with the music, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to make a point. You know, this show is you know for and you know with DJs and I think the what I'm getting out of this show today is just you know we've seen those posts, we've seen the arguments, you know, about you know old school, new school, you know,
equipment,
digital, vinyl,
yeah.
you know, all of that. But it, you know, I think what it really boils down to is just don't take yourself too serious.
Yeah.
You know, have fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Just don't forget that, you know. I mean, it's and for the first time I'm really starting to enjoy it. I'm not spending this much, but I'm having fun watching everybody play. I'm seeing everybody's personality come through, and I don't know if many DJs see that, but I like the individuality. I mentioned it many times. I'm starting to love that. I like, you know, Big Nut to be Big Nut, Hurricane to be Hurricane, Fatso to be Fatso, and it's all right with that. That's just who we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, even, like, talking with people, like, you know, I want to play with my man here now,
yeah,
you know,
right.
just speaking to him,
especially
when they're having women,
party, man.
Especially when having the women stripped down to their drawers.
Oh, we have pictures. Don't
oh,
worry.
My God. You know, thank God there wasn't cell phones back in those days. So you know, having the chance to travel the world and to be around all of these great DJs your whole life, give us some examples of some of the best shows that you've ever witnessed. Oh, not man. Been a part of, but witnessed yourself.
I'll tell you what, Little Louis Vega in New York.
Oh, man.
You don't even know
at
that
the
boy.
Tunnel?
There you go.
Yeah. At the tunnel would churn it out. It just churn. I mean, just.
So what would he do exactly? I mean.
He was. Like I like to get party and get the people going and just crazy and get that feeling. There's a way when we're DJing that you can capture everybody and their soul. You mm-hmm. can actually reach in with your, you know, with what you're mm-hmm. doing through the speakers, and you can control them. You can control everybody on the dance floor. And I mean, I showed you that at IBTs. Sure. You know, I've showed you that before, and you can really manipulate people if you have strong enough will and know that you can do it with music. And that guy is just one of the guys that can do it. And he would just make people. I mean, that's where I got my thing of taking off your clothes, because
yeah.
people were getting so into it that they were just so hot.
Yeah.
And that club was so cold, yeah. but they were just so hot that they would take off their clothes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that's it. When yeah. you can make people just take off their clothes because they're so yeah. hot and they still want to keep dancing,
uh-huh.
that's the stuff yeah. right there. You know?
Yeah, yeah, I've never strong. Had the chance to see him play, but I've heard nothing but
amazing.
You know,
Richard Humpty yeah. Vision, Gator Gardens, man, in California, uh-huh. in L.A. God, the dome. Oh, my God. He would churn that place out. He would just, I can't even tell you, would just churn that place out. Bad Boy Bill, another one. Another dude, one of my favorites. I guess I'm kind of like him in a way. I don't do drugs, but I drink like a fish. And that boy did everything. And I mean, he would be spinning and just passed out and never miss a mix.
Uh-huh.
And just, he would be passed out, people holding him up. And he's still mixing like a freaking maniac.
Jim Morrison of DJs.
That guy, yeah, you can tell yeah, you, right. Bad Boy Bill. Wow. Bad Boy Bill was for real. That guy was amazing. And he was like, I mean, who do you want? Skrillex, like back in the day, in the early 90s, Bad Boy Bill, that was equivalent to Skrillex right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tearing it up and doing things that you're going, how the hell did he do that?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is back in the days when we didn't have all this technology, you know?
Yeah.
And this was when we were doing stuff ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have the buttons,
yeah.
which is great now. I mean, I love it. I'm not dissing that stuff at all.
Yeah.
The technology is technology. Mm-hmm. But somebody actually, really quick on that point, that technology point, somebody pointed it out to me. You know, blaming DJs nowadays for using controllers and doing all this new stuff and using technology is like blaming somebody in the war, you know, that we send to Afghanistan to fight a war, and we're sending them with muskets. You know, you can't. Things evolve. You know,
yeah,
you want people to succeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's get behind them and just know that, hey, we came from this. The biggest point is just not to forget where we came from and not to forget what started all this.
You know, Bad Boy Bill, though, was on the edge of technology, because that guy, right when electronic music started, he would have two keyboards in his booth with MIDI, and he would make a beat with one, and then, make a little groove or a melody,
uh-huh.
loop that melody, and continue mixing while that melody was looped.
Wow.
I mean, that guy really, you know, talent-wise, you
amazing.
Know, he was absolutely amazing, man. I remember watching him in L.A. and just being, you know, and I'm watching him from 300 feet away and just being blown away.
Yeah, he's just a power force, man.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Who else? DJ Irene, watching her come up from a little punk in the streets, you know, just trying to hand out demo tapes to really blow things up.
Yeah.
And that was really, really cool to watch her evolve like that, you know. It's funny because I'm sitting here going, a lot of people ask me, okay, you were with all these guys and you were mixing with all these people, and why did you not get that big? I said, well, that wasn't my thing to, you know, I like doing the fun little stuff. Would I have taken the big gigs? Well, of course I would have, but I was always busy doing other things in the military, and, you know, I was limited to some stuff that I could do, but, you know, DJing is something. I've never felt it to be a job.
Yeah.
All the time I've ever done it.
This from the guy that's been trying to retire for the last 10 years, man. I swear to God, every couple months, oh, man, I can't do this no more. Yeah, right. I'm getting rid of my equipment. Yeah, right. Yeah. Sure,
and
sure
then last
are.
Week I called him and said, here we go. We're going to get some stuff.
Exactly. He's like, hey, look what I got now.
You know, all these young guys, I got to tell you right now. Again, I'm going to pull them out. Master Monk, DJ Dibs, you know, Eric Kidcuts. I mean, everybody has relighted my fire, because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I watch these guys practice, and I hear these guys going to practice, and I hear these guys doing all this stuff. And honestly, in my whole life, George will tell you, Hurricane will tell you, I have never practiced a set in my life.
Really?
I've never had a set.
And you know,
I've never practiced it, never
actually,
written it down.
Hey, and you know, starting out, I was always the same way. I think the only set I ever practiced was that audition tape that I gave to the radio. That was really the only time I sat there and like, you know, and I get this question all the time, and, you know, I wish I had time to practice. I wish I had that, that 3 hours a day or even an hour a day to get, you know, to just kind of sit there and go through it. But, I mean, you know, I mean, much respect to the dedication that these guys are still showing to their craft and to our art.
Yeah, they taught me how to be dedicated, because I look at them and I'm like, Terry, you either go all the way in or not at all, or just dabbing it a little bit, which is what I'm doing now, and I'm okay with that. And it seemed like, you know, I see their motivation, their thirst for it, and, you know, I can feel that.
You know,
that.
On the subject of side gigs, I mean, you know, if anybody's known this guy as long as I have, you know, he's always worked at least 22 hours a day. You know what I mean? This guy doesn't sleep. He's nonstop. And you got a project that's real close to your heart that you started up a few years ago. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, the Tia Lily's tea, yeah.
Yeah, I'm drinking some right now.
Yeah, we're drinking some right now.
Cinnamon.
Shameless plug.
I got a case in my fridge.
No, it's a tea company, man. It's you know, I've always done things, restaurants and food, and I love everything. But, you know, I was drinking tea one day, and I was sitting there saying, hey, man, why is there so much stuff in my tea? I love this tea, and now it tastes processed. It's horrible. So I'm looking at it, and I'm not the healthiest guy in the world, but I'm like, there's 13 things in my tea that I can't pronounce.
Right.
When you look at tea, it's just water, tea leaves, and sugar if you want sugar.
Yeah.
So I said, I can make it better, and anybody knows me. If I can do it, I'm going to do it. So.
And so this is an old family recipe, huh?
Yeah, I grew up. Actually, you know, my Nana and her Nana probably made it before. And I named it after my Tia Lily.
Oh, that's sweet.
Which is really cool because she was the one in the family that always had it. I mean, she's the one that you go to her house and here's some tea. Always.
That's awesome there.
You know, I got a mad Nana, I got a mad mom, and I got a mad couple other aunties.
because you didn't name it after them.
Yeah. But my Tia Lily, I got to give it to her. She always had it ready.
Well, you know, you
and, of course, all our prayers out to Tia Lily as
well.
Yeah,
she's got some problems, that's some so medical sweet. Problems right now. So,
Yeah, we're going to definitely post the link up
here.
I
remember
that,
him brewing this in his garage, man. You know, it started with like 5 machines, and then like a month later, I'm back to his house. He's got 30 in there. Like, oh, I just bought all these from so-and-so's closed down. I'm like, what are you doing? That's next awesome, thing you know.
Man. Now we're in 17 states and pushing forward, so hopefully things are rocking, going pretty good. So,
Yeah, we're all about shameless plugs here, man.
Yeah, you know, do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully we got some Tia Lily sponsorship over here with the Man Cave.
Yeah, right? Yeah, put the Man Cave logo right here on the side. I think that would look good on the label.
Yeah.
So these days, and I mean, you know, you're about to go play tonight, right?
I'm picking up Diablos on Thursday nights. I'm gonna try and kick up a happy hour on Friday nights from like 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Cause like I said, there's a lot of people don't realize that, you know, DJing isn't just about all the thump thump. You know, there's a lot of good stuff out there that can't get forgotten. You know, there's a lot of fun
I like
to be
that
had
statement.
Early.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff out there that cannot get forgotten.
Yeah,
because I know. You know, you get those weird requests sometimes at nighttime, but these people, there's a thirst for music out there. And you know, if you look at it and lay it down, nobody's playing a big variety of music.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much out there. And that's one thing I learned from going around the world is that the one thing that's consistent in every country, no matter what, Mombasa, Kenya, that was one of my favorite places to DJ at, was a club called Toys in Mombasa. And I played there every Friday night for a year. And they loved my music over there, man.
Nice.
And I threw some Latin stuff in with it, too. And it was really good because music's music.
Yeah.
And if it can move your soul, you can move your mind, body, and soul, it's on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of music that's good that doesn't get played and doesn't deserve to get played in the clubs, you know? Yeah. But doesn't mean it shouldn't be played.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks that you have to wait for a wedding to hear some of that good stuff.
Yeah,
and that's right. What
you're true.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, luckily, there's guys like Bonus and Herm and Alias and you know, even Dibs and you know, and Monk and Kid Cuts, MGM. They're all bringing that open format back, you know, to the club, you know, to the spot where, you know, it's becoming, you know, because you know there was a time, you know, in the 90s where you know you were one kind of DJ.
Yeah,
you were
exactly,
house,
yeah.
You were hip hop, you were breaks, you did electro, whatever. Was but you know, but that is definitely, you know, evolving, and it, you know, I think Z-Trip was one of the first ones to really come out and, you know, and show that you can drop that that Lips Incorporated on, you know, exactly.
So it's the open format starting to pick up a little bit.
I think it's here.
Yeah,
I really do.
Really...
I, you know, I, it's been bubbling for about 2 or 3 years, and then of course, you know. know, rest in peace, DJ AM. Mm-hmm. He really did bring that out as well into the mainstream. And you know, so I do believe that it's here. But you're right. You know, you still get stuck in that tunnel vision when you're doing the fist pumping club, and you know, you kind of
It seems to make sense, because you know the bangers, people always they have on their iPod, or they know how to get them. So what's left is the unheard of music, are the ones that's not being pushed out there more. So
has your preparation for a gig changed over the years? How do you get ready? Do you got any any quirks?
How about remember the box I used to carry, that big CD box?
Yeah.
People to carry. You can play any gig with that box, right? Yeah. Any gig in the world.
I used to tell people you could drop me in the middle of the desert and I could make it home with that box.
That was his favorite saying. Seriously, this box carried I don't even know how many CDs in it, but I mean, I just take everything and be ready.
And you know what, this guy, he would carry with him everywhere. So if he just happened to be having dinner, or DJ didn't happen to show up, he would be right
now,
there.
Now, did you give a name to it, or was it just the box?
No, that was just the box. That was the box. But what's really funny that you say that is people always laugh at me, but I do. I always have my headphones and my CDs ready to go. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, if you go in my truck right now, it's sitting in there.
Yeah.
But you never know. Yeah. I mean, I've picked up so many gigs like that, like my whole life.
I'm going to start doing that, just get a good flash drive ready and headphones.
Well, see, that's the best thing now is that you don't have to carry all that, so you can put on the flash drive.
When
I come out with Ultra Serato, that flash drive is going to be 50 pounds. You're going to be lifting that little shit up and stuff. And you can't keep that flash drive in your car. I'm going to make it real. Everybody want to get his absolute mode. It's going to be like very absolute mode. So.
No, it was cool. I mean, getting ready. I think just being ready for a gig, period, is what you got to do. And I love the way the guys nowadays practice. I mean,
that's
I
a
really
good advice
do.
There. Be ready.
Just always be ready for anything. Because you can't, I mean, let me tell you, I've had many a times where I've got a $200, $300 tip in a crazy party just because I pulled out an old song that somebody thought I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was always something I've been known for my whole life.
Yeah.
Is that if I don't have it, I'm going to get it and I'll play it that night. I will have it that night. So and now what's so cool is so easy with our laptops is that you can download it in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah,
so,
I'll get texts at 1:30 in the morning. Hey man, do you know the song? What was the last one? I think you were playing at a biker bar or something, and he's like, did Too Short ever come out with a song called I Need a Freak? It's like,
yep, that was
Let me send it to you.
The branding iron. I was at the branding iron. Some guy, he wanted to give me $100 if I could play it. And I'm
man.
And I was playing at the time when I got that text. And I was like, hold on, let me email
so
that
he
to
send
you.
It right to me. You know,
that's nice.
That's amazing that we have that technology now. Yeah. Back in the day, forget it. It would not have happened.
No, it would not have happened.
You're just going to look at that $100 or $200 and say, sorry, you go drink that by yourself.
It's a win-win. You know, everybody benefits from it. And I think that people, you know, the whole, like we spoke about before, about the technology and vinyl, digital, whatever. I think that people have a problem with things being too easy, but there's nothing wrong with things being easy if it sounds great when you put it out there. I mean, it's, you know.
You know, I think, honestly, I'm going to be really frank because, you know, I'm not afraid to talk on the microphone. No, but really honestly about that whole easy thing, I think it comes more down to a money thing, honestly. And if I might be wrong, so if I'm wrong, you can get on my Facebook and let me know. But I just want
to direct all hate mail to
Michael Lopez, the big nut.
Yes.
But what happened, and it's even joking. I mean, they're making cartoons on about it now. I saw one the other day where it says,
I have not seen that, man.
It says, basically, long and short of it, you know, my mom bought me a computer, and I'm doing gigs for $50. You know, and that's what's happening around the country right now. And, you know, it's funny because if you were in the drug dealer world, from what I hear, that, you know, you undercut people, you're done. You know, and that's
well,
a big...
Well, you know, that's not a new thing. That has been happening for a lot of years. You know, when I remember, you know, 10 years ago, you know, there was guys that would drag 12 crates, you know, for $75.
I would have tripped them.
So I don't think that's a new thing. No, that's kind of why I really believe in this little DJ community of ours.
Oh, I love it.
You know, and because that kind of stuff it happens all over the country. You know, I have a lot of friends that play, you know, from LA to New York and you know, in the big cities, man. It really is a problem. There's guys, you know, there's guys getting hurt over club gigs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you know, it's unfortunate. And I think if you're listening and you're a part of this family of ours, this thing of ours, you know, I really, really appreciate you, because this is really, you know, this is a great community that we have here in Tucson.
Yeah, I gotta say, yeah, no, not at all, because that is awesome. But I think we do have to educate some folks and make sure that everybody's on the same page. Because I remember, I'll be honest with you, coming down from San Diego over here, we were starting to do gigs on the weekend for like $500 a night.
Yeah,
and now things are.
I remember when it was like that. Yeah.
I mean, when I started here, I mean, it was, you get five bills for 4 hours, and it was beautiful, plus a bar tab. And if the night was going great, you got 3% of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking big money.
Yeah.
So things have changed so drastically now, mm-hmm. that, you know, the owners are paying $150, yeah. bucks, you know, $200.
Yeah.
But even some guys are doing for $50, you know. And
wow.
And it's just sad, because a lot of people that rely on it for their livelihood are getting,
yeah.
shafted.
Right.
And some of these guys that are just doing it as a part-time gig, it's okay with them, because they,
yeah.
don't need to make much. So
yeah.
we got to all get on,
yeah.
the same page.
I still feel a certain amount of guilt for that myself, yeah. because it's like, I know people that's their livelihood, what, yeah. they do, and it's not my livelihood,
right.
and I'm still struggling with that. Should I take on a weekly or not? There's always somebody who can use it.
Well, I think, so. As long as we're all, you know, trying as a community, and I'll tell you what, Aspen, big ups to him for putting that thing together on Facebook,
yeah.
and you know,
shout
you guys
out.
For doing this. Mm-hmm. It's huge, because I'll tell you what, I think we have one of the strongest DJ communities around.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Yeah, I
agree. You know,
oh, yeah.
And it's really cool, and I think it's gonna fix a lot of little tiny problems. Like, you know, one of these is just education and making sure that we're all on the same page when it,
yeah.
comes to getting paid.
Each one of us can play,
yeah.
if you're not playing, you can play somebody else's night guest,
yeah.
spot each week or so.
Yeah.
You know, there's always, you can jump around.
I think the biggest thing is, as we get on the board, and just make sure that we're not doing gigs for $50, because we're all worth way more,
oh,
than,
yeah.
$50.
That's for
exactly.
sure.
You know what,
yeah.
I mean?
All
of us. I mean, from the youngest guy to the oldest guy, I mean, we definitely shouldn't,
yeah.
be doing gigs for less, yeah. than $150, you know? So,
yeah.
that's just my opinion.
So, always one of the last questions I like to ask all of our guests here is on the subject of requests. now I know your answer. You do take requests. I know that. But I want some examples of, you know, some of the best and worst requests that you've ever gotten.
Well, I don't know. You know me. I'll play anything. But like you said before, I'll shut the music off in a heartbeat and point you out. So if you're requesting that song and I play it for you, your ass better not be on the sidelines.
That's right.
Because you've seen me do
one.
It.
You,
I will,
ask for
I will
you
shut
dance
it off.
To it, right?
Oh, man.
So I mean, I'll do anything, and I'll give anything a shot, because you can, if you're talented enough, you can mix out of that bat. You can mix out of that bad boy and make it a joke.
Right.
And mm-hmm. that could be your floor breaker that sends people to the bar. That's,
yeah.
one reason why I'm never afraid to play an off-color song.
Yeah.
Because that's going to get those people that you've been making sweat out there and moving.
Uh-huh.
They're going to look at you.
They're going to need a break.
But they're like, okay, I'm going to the bar.
Yeah, they
and
need
now,
a break, too.
The owner's going, he just made those people go get a drink.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
because,
so,
because nobody's going to walk out on you because,
no,
of one song.
No.
Yeah. yeah.
But if you do that, and then I use that coupled with pointing people out. Like I said, if they don't dance to it, or if they walk off the floor, I'm going to mix into it something else really quick.
Yeah.
And something cool. I mean,
yeah.
when you're thinking about their dumb request, if it's a dumb request, and there are dumb requests, I hate to say it, but there are. But
give us an example.
Oh, man.
Or is it more,
like,
or less, not necessarily.
Lift me up, Buttercup, in the middle of a
yeah,
gay bar.
It has more,
yeah. you know,
has more how it matches with the,
yeah,
mood,
exactly.
not
so
necessarily the
there's
song
a whole
itself.
Bunch of, yeah. I mean, Eminem, some of Eminem's songs, that have no business being played in the bar anyways, but people ask for it, and, you know, I'll play it. I'll pull it out. If I have it, I'll definitely pop it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you better dance to it. And,
yeah.
if I don't see a couple people bobbing to it, I'm going to put something else on. At least you can't say I didn't play it.
That's,
yeah.
true.
You know, and
true.
You can never tell me. That's one thing that no one can ever tell, is that I won't play at your request, because,
yeah.
I like to put them on. And, you know, once again, we're there for the people. And
that's
they're
good.
There for us.
Yeah.
So if they're not there, we have nobody, you know?
Yeah.
So what are we going to,
yeah.
do then?
Yeah, I've had those nights playing for the staff, you know?
So it's a touchy situation. I know I see a lot of DJs with no request signs up, which is really cool, because maybe they're doing a certain format and that night is just what,
yeah.
it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I love about Cosina.
Yeah.
Is they put that sign up and they just do their thing.
Yeah.
Because they're in their groove. And you,
yeah.
watch them, don't bother,
yeah.
them guys.
Oh,
exactly.
They are,
yeah.
in it.
You know, that, you know, I know people are probably sick of me talking about the place, but it really is,
yeah,
you know,
something.
One of the most,
yeah.
funnest places to play, you know,
yeah.
the last time I had a chance to, you know, me and Terry got to share the decks over there.
That was
and,
a blast.
It was
there.
Really
it was
a
just...
lot of fun.
No, that place is one of those. It's one of those going to go down like the Bobby McGee's did. It's going to go down like Pepe's. If you you ask people from the 80s what Pepe's was, their mm-hmm. eyes are going to light
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right.
CPW's, I can't yeah. forget that place. Central Park West at Park Mall.
Wow.
Right there, yeah. I mean, we used to play there. Jeez. All the after parties at my house after yeah, that. I mean, yeah. we had after parties. We had bouncers. We'd go till 5 o'clock in the morning every weekend. Mm-hmm. And there was a line of cars coming from all the clubs in my house. It was crazy. I mean, that's how we paid our rent. my mom was in there making stuff, and that's how we paid our rent. You know, we had beer kegs and, you know, serious bouncer action going on, but...
That's crazy.
It was nuts.
That's crazy. And I could just see your mom there probably cooking away, too. You know what I mean? Offering everybody a drink. Mijo, yep. mijo,
you
wanna mijo,
drink? You wanna drink?
Are you okay? So what about, I mean, you know, we know that you've recently you know, delved into the digital age as far as DJing.
Hurricane, yeah, how do I do this? Hurricane.
He said, my Serato is scrolling. I'm like, look at your CD players, and on number one and number two.
I'm all, oh, that's what that means. Oops.
But you know, what's your opinion on digital DJing?
Again, I come from the old school, so you don't like stuff. My thing is, I just don't like people to forget where we come from.
Yeah.
That's life in general. And like, yeah. I'm teaching this little kid right now. He's 12 years old, I think. 13 years old. John Campbell Jr.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And the kid has been blessed with a great parents that just know music like there's no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. This kid knows things that he shouldn't even know.
Yeah.
I mean, beats and songs and, you know, all varieties. And he's going to be a great DJ. But I'm showing him, and today he had a second lesson, and he's already beat matching.
Yeah.
I mean, just straight up. Mm-hmm. But one thing I told him, I showed him vinyl first. We're going to show him, and I want him to learn yeah. how to mix without the computer. I go, I want you to know the bass. That way when somebody calls you out, when you're using your controller or whatever you happen to be doing,
right.
and somebody calls you out and says something to you, I said, let's go to the table. Then you can yeah. make it happen. At least know something about it.
Yeah.
Because that's where we come from.
Yeah.
We come from that vinyl. We come yeah. from, you know, that beat mix. And we come from without having any toys and the luxury of yeah. being able to. Remember when you wanted to phase something and use a flanger and you had to put two records together and
oh,
play
yeah.
them just
you
off
had to
a
play
little
them,
bit?
Yeah, just, uh-huh. yeah, just enough. A little bit, yeah.
And you
yeah.
get that spacey sound.
That's right.
I mean, all
that's
that it. Stuff, you know, double mm-hmm. rocking the beats, yeah. just everything, the reverb, the echoes, how
yeah.
you could do it with just two turntables.
How you end song with
else.
The, you know, the stop button and
oh,
create
yeah,
that
and
little drag and you adjust
yep.
it, the drag speed just to get that.
Or like DJ Magic with the other day on that video was showing us, you know, it was really cool because, you know, he was making the song with a pitch.
Yeah.
And he was making the
yeah,
actual
exactly.
beats with
yeah.
a pitch.
Right.
You know, and people were looking at that probably go, wow. But nowadays you can use those, what are they called? Those dicers, the thing we're going to get?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, Hurricane, I want some dicers. I want some dicers now. So we're
yeah, those
get
dicers are incredible.
But I think yeah. it's really important that we as a community make sure that the young people know where we came from still. I mean, it sounds silly and cheesy, but I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Because that's what it started it all.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that died over this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you look back, because I mean, DJing early turntablism wasn't just about playing music for people.
Yeah.
It was an actual
yeah.
street life.
Exactly.
You know, that was a love for
you
music.
Know, it's another thing. And it was very expensive, too, because I grew up humble. And, you know, with tech 1200s, you know, running about like 400 a piece,
yeah.
the equipment. And it was, I mean, you had to really struggle. I mean, I remember like spending years just to scratch up to get my equipment, the dedication. And then once they realized that, I mean, it's so easy to get the stuff now and slap on the label DJ that, you know, maybe that'll, you know, put something in their head because it was for real. It was like a real thing to us
it
there,
was life,
man. I mean, I was like, I remember like, you know, not, like certain girls wanting to get a record of mine. I wouldn't give it up and I didn't talk to the girl or anything because I wanted to hold on to a record.
Yeah.
There's a famous story with Chuck D making that one song, Public Enemy Number One, and he said he went to a lady's house just to Mac to her just to get that record because he wanted to use it in a song. I mean, it's that insane,
yeah,
that
right.
insane dedication,
yeah.
man, where, you know... I mean, it was like the other way around now, how you can do it now and get the notoriety and ladies. But back then, it was just, you know, it was like a pure love for it, you know.
I don't know.
So,
I wouldn't know anything about
well,
that.
Well, the coolest
yeah,
thing I saw
George.
Was was online. I saw DJ Rada. They did a tribute to him, mm-hmm. and I posted it on Facebook. But at the end, his daughter played.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was mixing and scratching. And it was, I'm getting goosebumps right now just talking about it. But to see a little girl, she's probably 11 years old,
mm-hmm.
doing what her daddy perfected, you know,
yeah,
and the
definitely.
Things that
yeah.
man did
yeah.
for our industry was amazing. And to see her doing that and just with all the boys up there behind her
mm-hmm.
cheering her on was humongous.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked that out, I have it on my Facebook posted there. I think I posted it on our
yeah,
Tucson one, but it's pretty fat.
As a matter of fact, I was just going to tell you, why don't you let everybody know where they can reach out to you?
I don't even know.
Reach out and touch Big Nut.
Come on, you know, I'll just play. It's on Facebook. Just look up DJ Michael Big Nut Lopez, and I'm on there. And I'm on there with the Tucson scene, so we're in the community, the DJ community. And, you know, just I got to tell you, I'm so proud of our whole community just pulling together and everybody going out and checking each other's shows out. I think it's been more are happening more this last, you know, 6 months than ever. And
it's really
cool. Sure. So you guys, everybody that's listening, keep it up, because that is so neat to look out in the arena and see, you know, your fellow DJs out there supporting you, even if it's only for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, swing by and say hi and take a picture.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that is the coolest thing ever, especially these young folks coming up, seeing them go out there. And, you know, it's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, just, you know, you don't even have to really, you know, play along with them. Just be another DJ there that they can relate to. And, you know, I mean, imagine having a horrible night. We all had our horrible nights of spinning. And then you see, like, Hurricane comes in, like, hey, what's up, Fatso? It's like, oh, man, thank you. And then you kind of just, you know, support each other that way and are helping out with requests. You know, as a DJ, you can sit, you know, like, oh, he'll play that. He'll play that later, you know. Just there's like probably 100 ways you can support your DJs, you know. So make sure we all do that.
Yeah, I think it's cool hanging out though. That's really neat to walk around and see it, because you know a lot of people don't. I stepped away from the game for a little bit, so a lot of people, the younger guys, don't know who I am by sight. So it's kind of cool when they go, "Oh, you're the Big Nut." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, all right, cool." But you know, it's really neat to see all these people out there, you know. And I'm really proud of a lot of these guys that are really pushing hard and making names and going out and playing in other cities. And opening up spots for the newer people that are in town, you know, because that's what it does. It generates a lot of excitement. And I'm telling you, they're putting them on the map right now. They're putting theirs on the DJs on the map.
Nice.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think that's, you know, that's one thing that I always thought, you know, especially coming up, was that, you know, this town has a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great talented DJs in this town. It's about time that they're getting out, you know, that the rest of the world is checking them out. So
honestly, I think there's more talent in Tucson than there ever was in San Diego when I was there for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I played everywhere, and a lot of good guys played everywhere. Yeah. I mean, DJ Style, you know, all those boys played, and it was just fun to watch them all. But we got a lot of talented people in this town.
Yeah. I really believe that, because I think a lot of the audience are getting notoriety mixed up with skill. And if you notice, it's like there's good DJs, but they have to put themselves out there, so they got to promote themselves, which is a necessary thing to do. And then you have the flip side of people that are already, you know, have that fame, or like Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And then so
which stuff do I suck?
So what it is, it's like it's like
I was hoping we weren't gonna talk about that, but on this show, but
it's easier to label yourself a DJ than it is to be known for DJing, I guess. So
it used to be
you're known for DJing.
Yeah.
And now, you know, if you got to, I mean, there's cats I listen to now and they're just great. You know, I can listen to Big Brother Beats or so, and then you get like pick your famous DJ, you know, who draws thousands and thousands of people. And I'm like, you know, he sounds better than that. I mean, but, you know, it's just, and I'm not mad at it. I mean, it's like a package deal, and that's just what it is, you know. So, you know, I mean, it always sounds like haterism, but it isn't. You know, it's just the reality of it. So if you have the skills, you got to really market yourself out there. And I'm the first time in my 27, 26 years as DJ, and I'm thinking about doing that myself, a logo, business cards, and, you know.
Yeah, I'm finally going to come up with a really cool logo. Actually, Little John Jr.'s drew a really cool one, and it looks really awesome.
Yeah.
So it could be coming out here shortly.
It's all part
of it. Special shout to DJ Alias. I was listening to... he's got a podcast on SoundCloud that he put out. And this last mix, man, number 7, if you're listening, man,
nice.
That was really dope. You know, I'm listening to it in a car right now. You know,
hopefully it's downloadable. Really, I'll check it out when
it is.
I listen to it at work.
Yeah, go to DJ Alias.
That's one thing I love about my job. I can download all DJ's mixes and just enjoy. Have a party at work. So, but everybody, thanks again for checking us out. Make sure you hit us up at behindthecrossfade@yahoo.com and Facebook us at facebook.com/behindthecrossfader.
Yeah, once again, much love to Dave and the Man Cave for allowing us to be here. I mean, sweaty and all, but we made it through this show, you know.
Not too bad. We managed, did all right with it. No. So.
And of course, to A-List 520520.com for really supporting us and, you know, taking all them great pictures and the videos. And, you know, we really love you guys a lot. Thanks. And to all our listeners, I mean, I get so much good feedback everywhere I go, you know, every little spot, every club, every DJ, you know, they really, you know, I get people that are actually listening to every show.
Really
you
love
know,
it.
You know,
yeah, so really appreciate that.
It's kind of
that.
Amazing, you know. But thank you guys so much. You know, on behalf of Behind the Crossfader, we really appreciate it.
Oh yeah. So I'm echoing the same thing that George said. Props to everybody. Me love you long time. So once again, this is your man, Terry Fatso Haymore.
And I'm George Gonzalez, Arizona's DJ Hurricane.
With our guest, Mike Big Kneezy. I want to call you that. Big
I
nut,
like
bro.
That. I like that.
Nah, just Big Nut. I don't want to.
Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. Rather in life, love, music, always stay in the groove. Behind the Crossfader, y'all. Peace.
Peace.